Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And I feel just privileged and honored and blessed to have today to share with you the beautiful, beloved, precious, dear, Reverend Andriette Earl of East Bay Church of Religious Science, wonderful author, and general upliftment to all life. Welcome.
You are so lovely, Iris. Thank you.
I have
to call you sometimes and have you introduce me to me.
I've felt really clumsy about introductions, and it's sort of like one of my things has been, I'm okay once I get started. It's the getting started part. I just haven't. Yeah,
yes,
but
I understand.
Thank you, and I feel so blessed that you're going to talk today on love prospers and forgiveness frees.
Mm-hmm. I'm doing a telecourse that's presently in session. That's the title for it. So I'm so in the zone around this. And I'm really borrowing from, you know, one of my favorites, Catherine Ponder.
Yes.
Yes, because I love that she defines prosperity as the degree to which you experience peace, health, and plenty in your world. It just, you know, that just sets it straight for us. We can set ourselves with that. And when I think about this idea of prosperity and being prospered, I know that it really is the condition of being successful or thriving. So success and thriving appeals to me. It appeals to all of us. And so this idea of being prospered through divine love is phenomenal, and it's true. So the moment we begin to surrender to that, I almost said learn about that, but it's almost like unlearning. It's really more unlearning whatever we've been telling ourselves and whatever we've been taught that is much more restrictive than life really is. So I love this idea of simply reminding ourselves, coming into the remembrance that love prospers us, that it pays great dividends, that it's worth our while to engage in our experience of love, sharing that, expanding our heart, doing all of that. And then there's the backup plan. This is kind of the guarantee to it, is that when we're in any place short of that, we know that we can use forgiveness to free us, to set us free. And that's essential.
Okay, could I ask you, I don't know exactly how to say this, but it's on purpose right here.
Yes.
In my meditation the other day, I suddenly felt this just lifting and exaltment, and I said, you know, whatever is conscious and unconscious, this life and all other past lives, I forgive everyone of everything. I just forgive everyone. And
yeah.
I really, 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 really felt that, Andriette. I just, at every level of my being. And then the next thing that came up is like, well, you're fat. I don't forgive you for being fat. it's those kind of things that keep coming up. Like, I remember one time I was really, really, really working on manifesting exactly what I wanted in my body, and I did attain that, but I had to forgive myself 9,000 times a day for not having done it yet, for having struggled with it, for having been, you know, remedial. It seems like a real insidious thing, and one of the really core issues that, like, bars us from the peace, health, and plenty.
It is. You're absolutely right. What I loved is that you gave us an example of kind of 70 times 7. You know, the
more than that, honey.
Yes, the need for us to really dig deep, this excavation work. Now, let me say, I want to start almost in a different place. Start with the beginning and with the ending in mind, as Stephen Covey would remind us.
Is
that when we really are living from divine love, which I aspire to do. Let me just go on record and say that, which I aspire. I'm not speaking from the top of the mountain. I'm speaking sometimes just hanging on to a branch, hollering for help that somebody would throw me a rope lest I fall into the abyss. But what I know is true across lifetimes is that love prospers everyone, everything. It brings an amazing vibration. When we live there, we are also communicating through compassion. When we live and all of our communications and relationships are experienced in compassion, forgiveness is no longer required. So until then, forgiveness is our tool. It's our first aid kit, if you will. And sometimes, as you know, you just spray a little something on the wound and that's it. You don't even have to put a Band-Aid on it.
Bactine.
So, you see, spray a little Bactine on it, you're gone.
Go cosmic Bactine and forgiveness.
You see, cosmic Bactine, I love it. Sometimes, though, it requires a Band-Aid. Sometimes it's a full bandage. If that thing has to be wrapped. Sometimes it's going to require stitches. And then wrapping. Sometimes you're going to have to set a bone, etc. You might have to implant a metal piece. You understand what I'm saying? Depending upon the degree to which I'm going to say the wound is or the perception of it, and it really is more the perception of it, but let me not, to the individual who's having the experience, I'm splitting hairs. Yes. Perception is reality. But regardless of the degree of it, forgiveness is the salve, the healing balm. And it's just a question of how much, whether it's 7, whether it's 70 times 7, whether it's 70 times 70, whether it's 70,000 times. What we know is once that cycle is complete and we're now standing in compassion, I love your example because it's a self-example. It's how we are, it's that self-talk, it's that sense of self. So in that moment where I am, and I can join you in that example, yesterday I was, well, I have an opportunity as well. When I find myself being compassionate with me about my weight, for example, in any given moment, to come out of reminiscing about the past and regretting the present, being resistant about the things that no longer fit and maybe moving into just having a complete wardrobe of what would really fit now, all of that energy. I feel that I'm out of compassion, that I'm not dealing with me compassionately.
Yeah, and my thing in the past has been, I'll buy you some clothes when you look better, honey.
Oh, see, compassion is an opportunity, my sweet. Ask me how I know. Compassion is calling to us this day. And once we do, you see, forgiveness frees us so that we can live life in compassion.
I guess I just like to, you know, do it and get it done.
I understand, and yet my life offers me evidence that sometimes it's the slower road. You know, sometimes it's the unpaved road that I need to take. I am looking at something else that's going on in my life where I'm at a 5-year point, and there's a process that I'm about to engage in. And what's true about that process is that that process was available after the second year. And for a while, I was kind of, you know, beating myself up about, why didn't you just a slacker? Why didn't you? And now I see so clearly that my path for this, the 5 years, was essential for me. I'm not recommending it to anyone else. I'm not denying that it has value. At the same time, I know that it served me greatly. That at the 2-year
exactly
point, I wasn't
way.
There.
To do it exactly this way.
Exactly.
Well,
so where we are, we can have compassion, even as it pertains to our weight or whatever it is we pick. For someone listening who's thinking, well, it's not weight for me, it's that, stay with that idea. Because whatever it is for each individual, our opportunity is to first begin thinking about it more compassionately.
That's step number one.
Yeah. Well, I would say number one is to have a clear vision, is to be willing to discern what is it really. Because in truth, I may be the perfect size. You see, I'm already, the point that it comes up for me, I want to, it's important, I think, for each of us to decide, is if it's about finances, is it enough? Sometimes we're operating out of somebody else's idea, that we don't make enough, we don't have enough, we're not enough, or we're too much. But it's to first get clear. So what is the true vision? And then be in that vision enough to feel the full, authentic enthusiasm for whatever it is that one has envisioned. And then I think it's essential that we come to clarity, to get really definitive about what it is and what I'm willing to pay in spiritual value. What is it I'm willing to do? Am I willing to have more moments of silence? Am I willing to be more conscientious in my practice? Am I willing to just surrender? Am I willing to let go? Am I willing to take on? It's to get real clarity about, where am I in this? So when I look at mine, and I know I've had a bit of ice cream for the past few days, you see, it's me taking responsibility. And then there's something about ask, and knowing that, you know, just in Scripture, ask and it shall be answered.
Yes.
It's to just very simply ask in really clear language, what is it that I'm really asking for? But see, all that clarity first, I think, is essential before we start asking. And often we see that, maybe we hear ourselves in a job interview or in a situation where we're surrounded by those who are really listening. And sometimes when we start asking, and folks, the response is, what? What is it? Just tell me what you want. So we've got to get better at being concise about what is it, but from a place of clarity. Because while I'd like to fit in those jeans, I also wanted that gelato.
Oh, here's mine. My true heart's desire is...
Is what?
To be one of those little bitty size 4 women that doesn't have to exercise.
And,
I mean, that, not that I don't exercise, but I'm just real... real devout and committed, and you know, it seems like not just playing sometimes. So I'd want exercise to be more like playing, and as a natural event of my aliveness. Just, you know, like kids are in the grocery store and they're jumping up and down, mm-hmm. and playing, running around the things. And I've often thought, like, what if we all did that?
Mm-hmm.
What if we all did that? I mean, it'd be so
yeah.
much fun.
Yeah,
so,
it would.
And
it is.
Yeah, so that's what I want, that natural exuberance. And I also want to be one of those people that you just say, I eat whatever I want, whenever I want, and I always weigh this. This is,
well, miracles do happen, Ira.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm asking
miracles
for.
Miracles do happen.
Don't you like that one, though?
You know, there's something about, there's that part of me that does.
Yes.
And there's that part of me that knows my life has flourished when I'm an active participant in it. And so there's that part. I have a workout schedule that on paper is Monday through Friday. And I even have a group with whom we've agreed to do that, and we've slacked off, and now we really have, quote, committed, end quote, to Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And I'm not always there on time or consistently, you know, work. And what we have found is that it can be such fun in the way that we do it together. But what I know is true is that I must bring something more from me. I have to bring that, like, absolute commitment. I have to bring my full self to it. And I haven't for a good while. So I'm grateful that we're having this conversation, because I've kind of been playing around in the pretense of, oh, I don't quite know what it is, and but I do. When I was doing 5 days a week and was focused and right in there of, okay, let's keep that heart rate up, and I knew what to do, and I have slacked off from doing what I know to do. So there's this other piece in our steps, and one of them is to take the action. It's do the work. It's not enough, I'm telling myself, to just know what should happen. And when that happens, you know, when the principle is engaged, what the outcome is, it requires that I absolutely do it, that I do the full work, and that I do it faithfully believing as well. And there's something here also that's a key step, and it's a step of giving thanks. That it's, for me, I'm reminding me, as often as I come to, in a prodigal daughter kind of way, as often as I can come into awareness, it's to give thanks for what is working. And to, which helps to interrupt the complaining pattern. I realized the other, recently, that I had no longer had a little black dress. And so when I went shopping to replace that key item in my closet, you know, I was somewhat dismayed by some of what I tried on. But, you know, in the final analysis, there were so many pieces I'm grateful that looked fabulous on me. But I have to admit that for a moment I was stuck in the pieces that I, you know, didn't even completely put on, because I only took those pieces in the dressing room that I liked. So I had some disappointment that I could not, I would have loved to have a situation where everything I liked, I tried on, and just the perfect idea of the size, meaning the number on the garment, and it fit, and it was simply my choice, my preference, that I engaged around what I might purchase. But instead, there were some pieces that were eliminated because they had kind of a sausage-like effect.
Yeah,
I wasn't going for that look. But I really do know how to have a different look.
Well, it's really a test.
I'm grateful.
It's really a test of mastery to go and try on clothes.
It is.
You know, they used to have this really skinny mirror at a store I would go to, and they didn't have anything that was my style. But I would go there and try on things and buy them and bring them home because of that mirror.
Ah.
I took them back, of course.
Of course. That would be a good mirror to have at home. Even. Well, no, because one would still be out in the world. But what I know is there's something about activating and engaging our gratitude muscle. You know, I think it helps to heal and prepare the foundation so that we can really stand in what's ours to do. You know, kind of like the serenity prayer.
Yeah.
You know, what is it that's up for us to accept? You know, for me, there are those designs I would love to wear, but I just don't have the stature. You know, I don't have the height to pull it off. Now, I could sweat that for the rest of my day, and it is how it is. So there is that in this body type and body style and so forth, but there's something about coming into gratitude, thanksgiving, and loving what is, as Byron Katie would say to us. Love what is. Accept it as it is.
Okay, so here's where I've gotten a little stuck.
Okay.
And I actually think that everyone has this as their basis of these desires that I'm going to tell you. I've lately been shown that what my plan was, what my vision was, obviously wasn't what it was, and so that had really shaken me. And finally, I got to this place where I said, "Okay, God, there's just one thing I want, and what it is I want to know. I want to know you." I want to know your will. I want to hear your voice. Mm-hmm. I want to feel your presence. I want to know I am one with you. I want everything in my life, my body, my home, my finances, my world of action, to glorify you.
Mm.
To glorify you. And where I've gotten stuck in the past was, you know, I like to give praise, love, and gratitude for this, but it doesn't look like glorifying God to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It looks like so far from that.
Hmm.
And I think that that's what we constantly have to forgive ourselves for.
Is it that this idea of, at least the way I describe it, is kind of going from zero or even, you know, 100 to 1 million. That is to say, we have the vision of how our life is to be lived. And we see that it's like the beginning of a journey. So we see that we are, if we're headed to, you know, South America, we are at least at the almost central point of California, so we can begin to move. You know, we have a long way to go. But we're not at the Arctic Circle.
Yeah. Oh, speak for yourself. Some days I've visited there often.
Well, you see, even there, we have to get better at finding what in this do we have to be grateful. So we aren't always on the Arctic Circle, because you're absolutely right. We look up and the thought is, how did I get here? Wasn't I just, at least in the southern United States, calculating, you know, what's left for the journey?
Or, you know, this part just looks around and goes, this can't be it.
Yes, it's true.
Nuh-uh.
I've just been there. But the blessing is, I think, at least what I've begun to do, is to remind myself that I've been here before. Remind myself that this seems to be kind of the human experience. So I plot it out. Let's say I even go to AAA, like back in the day, and they highlight the route, and I'm going to take it. And at some point, I've taken a wrong turn. Or I just didn't quite follow the directions. And maybe I had a good time wherever I went. And now my challenge is, how do I get back on schedule? How do I get back on the journey from where to where I want to be? And what I always know is true is that it's possible, and that it's up to me to look for a way into the flow. So even if you find yourself on the Arctic Circle, just look around and remember, And I know how to get out of here as well. It's all right. I really do. And if I'm stuck, this is such an important lesson, and it's one that I'm getting better and better at. It's ask for help. Holler out. Keep a Rolodex of those helpful tools, techniques, human resources that will help to move me from where I don't choose to be any longer to where I intend to be.
That is so key, Reverend Andriette, because I know there have been lots and lots and lots and lots of times where I felt like my head was so far down, I didn't even think of asking for help. I didn't even feel like I deserved help.
I understand. I have been there myself. You know, you've read my book. You know I've had some things that have gone on that have been devastating.
Would you talk about your book a little bit? It's so wonderful.
My book is Embracing Wholeness, Living in Spiritual Congruence. And just writing the book was really moving from that place of just talking about doing something, you know, like writing the book and people, because I'm a speaker, because I'm a teacher, a presenter, there was always that where people would say, oh, do you have a book? And no, but I'm working on one. And while it's true, the truth is I never felt worthy. Who, me? What? Who would? It was all that inner doubt. And just ultimately, this is what I've written in the introduction, was just this whole exposing, this whole inner debate of, you know, all the promises, all the intentions, and still not doing the thing. And that's why these steps we were talking about are so important, because there's a point at which one really expects to have a demonstration, a manifestation, and all of the other meandering doesn't get us there. It's part of the journey. But if we aren't careful, it can be the whole journey. The whole journey of just wandering around, kind of like the Hebrew children in the wilderness, never getting to the promised land. In a version of it, rather. We're talking about a version where you just keep wandering and the promised land is right there. Exactly what you're desiring is right there. And there was just this moment where I made a commitment to someone and I decided I would not break my commitment, even though it came up for me many times, like I would renegotiate, and I just kept doing it. But I feel that the greatest commitment I made was to me. But in the book, I do share that I'm someone who made 2 suicide attempts, and I'm someone who is thriving after having been raped. And forgiveness was so key to that. There was my forgiveness. There was the emergency room doctors me forgiving him and the nurse, all of that. You know, in our life experiences, it's seldom one person, except that it's always just one. And it's always just us. You know, but the illusion is that there's just this long list. And often it serves us to go through the whole list. But the truth is, if we have forgiven, we have forgiven. And I'm still doing the work. I'm still doing the work, which is why I know that those times when I am living in compassion, that's how I gleaned it. That's how I gleaned that, oh my goodness, I can have compassion for the perpetrator. Now, I'm not having contact, but I can have compassion. And I can have compassion for absolutely everyone in my life experience. And I acknowledge I'm not necessarily right there right now. And that is my vision. The vision I hold for my life is that I live it in compassion for all humanity.
Well, you know, I've often thought that there's only one thing to learn here, and that is to love ourselves, and the reason we don't forgive people is because we can't love ourselves if they do that.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So the real what I've been writing down everything I've gotten in this meditation since I've just been saying, okay, God, there's this one thing I want, and it's to know you and to hear your voice and to feel your presence and to do your will and to know what that is on a moment-to-moment basis.
Yeah.
And one day, God spoke to me and said, who I am is your relationship with yourself.
That's so true. Wow.
I've been really thinking about that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
it really helps us to get our relations in the world, doesn't it?
Yes. And the reason we want to give up judgment is we can't love ourselves when we're doing that.
We can't or we won't.
Huh. Well, we're not focused on love then.
Yes.
Yes.
And the moment we get that love prospers us and we're willing to have that experience, my sense is we begin to find ways, additional ways, to let love be the active energy.
That's so beautiful. Tell people how they can reach you.
Well, my website is an excellent way, and that is Rev Andriette. And that's spelled RevAndriette.org. RevAndriette.org.
I like that. That's real easy.
Yeah. And I'm at East Bay Church of Religious Science, so also calling the church at 510-420-1003 is yet another way. I'm so grateful for you're sharing with me. That's always a treat. Because
well,
we had some real-time examples that, you know, don't begin, I think, to, on the one level, I know there are people who are really find themselves in, you know, what we commonly refer to as crisis, just across the board. And, but I think it's all, and I don't mean this to be offensive to anyone, when I say it's all the same, I know it doesn't feel like it necessarily in the moment, but some of the most mundane difficulties, challenges, the outcome, the resolution to those, the path is so similar to the most difficult crisis. And it's the inner work.
Well, I think you're saying sort of to move on, love yourself where you are.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Begin there.
Well, you know, I was thinking about this and I was meditating on it, you know, on what you were speaking on today. And I always ask for several nights, with all of my guests, is that we be taken to the temples and work with the Ascended Masters to give the greatest possible cosmic blessings to everyone that comes in contact with it in any way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was thinking about, I've been voraciously reading these Outlander novels, which are time travel, romance, adventure stories. And I mean, I've just been practically addicted to them. There's six of them. And some of them are 1,400 pages. And you know, they've been through the Indians and the the Stuart's War and the basically the shooting and the crying and the fellow with the switchblade knife, you know, that and I started thinking, these people have written on their forehead, go ahead, mess me up. Mess me up again. And I was thinking, oh, Iris, you're reading this stuff. What part of you is it that eats this up? This, I don't know, this, it's something about the soul overcoming various things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, I feel like we've kept doing these things as kind of an addiction to drama, which has been sort of the World's Pictures version of living an exciting life.
Mm, kind of just out of habitual patterns.
Yeah, like, oh, my life isn't exciting. I don't do anything like James Bond. I don't blow up six things a day. Or do you know what I'm saying? There's,
you know, I'm thinking that the way I would apply it, if I'm understanding it, let me test it this way. If I see it kind of on a smaller application, a more finite application for the individual who, maybe it's about relationship, that significant other relationship, that just finds themselves forever in this pattern of high drama. And that there's a moment when one is in stillness and in available to an expanded awareness and realizes that as an individual, I have been creating an energy here that isn't required. That it is not only possible, but there is evidence of many people who have loving, respectful relationships, and that their way of expressing love is much more consistent with what I've desired. So it's kind of describing the way that lovers interact, some of whom with just high drama that can even be dangerous.
Yep.
And it's not until one realizes that it can be different. Life does not have to be the way I have chosen it to be so far. The religious science organization, the United Centers for Spiritual Living, actually has as a part of its purpose, its mission statement, a world that works for everyone. And I've just been writing that on my heart because I find that I so resonate with that, so I know it's there. I know that there's that within me, and what I'm asking is that more often than not, my relationships, my life experience reflects that, that I am invested in, that I am committed to a world that works for everyone. And what that means to me is that some of the habitual patterns that my consciousness, even if I've never engaged in that activity myself, that specific activity of maybe murdering someone or, you know, car chases, none of, but if I'm giving my energy to that on some level, giving my attention to it, supporting it in any way energetically, that I am part of the reason that it exists in our world.
There's a mouthful.
Yeah, it is.
Well, it, okay. Okay. That is not what I want to give my energy and focus and money to.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been reading them because I love the love story and because it has helped me come to compassion with that part of men that I have seen as blind gladiators. You know what I'm saying? And really understand, you know, like, but the important part to me is this romance where this man loves this woman the way I have experienced love with my twin flame. And one of the things he says to her is, "Your face is my heart." And so I guess what I've seen in a lot of movies is it's sort of the last man standing thing that you know, the hero comes in, he saves the woman from all the horrible things on earth, kills all the bad guys, and they walk away and live happily ever after. You know, they're the last one standing. Everybody else is killed, but they. And that's not exactly a world that works for everyone.
No, it isn't.
You know, but we watch those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have watched those things feeling that they're sort of the best thing that has been offered for entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I want to create media and entertainment and books and movies that are fulfilling and nurturing on every level.
Yeah. And there are some. And I think for everyone who has that calling, feels that impulse, it's essential that they participate in that way. It's essential.
You mean, don't be sitting on your book because you think, who me?
Yes. Yes. It's essential that everyone ante up, you know, according to what they're getting, what they're given. And each one in their own time. So I'm not judging, but the moment one comes to an awareness, the moment one awakens, the moment one comes to him, herself, that's the moment to choose again. Yeah.
Well, I got a little confused there. I guess I thought you were going one way and then you made a little U-turn.
Okay.
When you come to that moment to choose again,
mm-hmm.
just say that another way. Say that same thing another way.
I think it's the awakening moment is what I mean. That awakening moment from however it has been, you know, a moment before, and even if it had only been that way for, you know, a day versus a lifetime, but the moment one is in awareness that this isn't serving me. There was a time that, what are the show? There's a Law and Order, the Law and Order series. They have criminal intent and something else. That different versions of the same kind of police show. I thought that they were, my thinking is, my assessment is that they are so well-written, well-acted, and I just so enjoyed them. And then I had this awakening moment that it wasn't serving me. Now, I'm not trying to get them taken off the air at all. It's just that I realized that the way my energy was engaging, although I was enjoying the stimulation and the suspense and the action, and I was having such a hard time with the violence.
Yeah, I think we have to ask ourselves, is this something I'd like to really see when I walk out on the street?
Right.
Is this
and
something?
Is this something I want to see in my mind's eye?
Yeah.
And
also, what does it do to your body to focus on that kind of disintegration, like explosions?
Mm-hmm. To your mind, to your whole being. Here's what I want to clarify, that there was a whole period of time when that didn't occur to me.
Yes, I know.
It was
yes,
entertainment. It was my preferred. I so enjoyed it. I was following it. I was, you know, characters, all of it. And then there's a moment of awareness. Now, after that moment of awareness, it's never the same for me. So if for a while when I would turn it on and I'd say, oh, I'll just watch this one. I'm not going to watch the whole, you know, the whole weekend of it or whatever. But I realized that I wasn't the same observer any longer. It was now something else for me. And
well,
so I found myself, I chose to make a different selection.
Well, you know, when our children were little, my husband wouldn't let them have television. And so we didn't have a television for 8 years. And then one night we went to the movies. We went to see Midnight Express and took the kids and had no idea what it was about, hadn't heard a thing about it, didn't have a TV, didn't see the ads, none, just wanted to go to the movies, you know, and that was that time worked out. And the first time somebody got shot, I felt it in my gut.
Mm-hmm.
I just, and see, when you're watching that day after day after day, you stop noticing how your body feels.
Yeah.
And then they did some horrible, horrible, horrible things to this guy. And when they started torturing him, I got up and I stormed into the lobby and I said, give our money back. We're not paying for this crap. And the manager comes in and he goes, no, you signed up for this. I said, give us our money back or I will make a scene like you've never seen. And I think people have to do that, but you're not sensitive to it when you're watching it every single day.
I trust that there is such order in the universe, just like I had an awakening, that every soul knows its way home. And that even though, and what I'm saying is, it's not as if, well, if you watch it for a year, you'll never notice, you know. I think that there still will be that moment, whenever it comes, one will be inspired to choose differently.
Just like the very being of us has to come forth and say, you know, I would really like to do something a little bit more fun than this.
Yes.
I would like to have fun.
Yes. Yes.
I would like to laugh. I'd like
exactly so. This isn't it. And then they may not ever think of, what is it about this that isn't this? You know, I don't know that it matters. It doesn't have to be, you know, deep thinking and great clarity. It's just choose again. Get up, go home. You know, in a prodigal son kind of way with that. Just get up from what's not working, from what has our solar plexus tied in a knot, just whatever it is. And I was just reading a while back, I guess it was actually last month, reading an article in the Science of Mind magazine about a woman who is practicing law. And I don't want to overstate it, but my recollection of it is that she hates it, that she had always preferred to do something else. But it just felt like, you know, the path that everybody wanted for her, and it seemed to, quote, make sense.
From the good idea department is
yep.
what I call that.
Yep, but not from her heart's desire. And she ultimately, you know, walks away from that. And I remember the line where she's talking about that she's waited tables, but she's living life. So for anybody who's terrified of waiting tables, then, you know, my sense is for sure that's going to happen. But it's all right. It's all right to move from that isn't serving us. So it's on every level of our lives, from the mundane television choices and movie selections to what are we choosing in life for our primary relationships, for our life's work, for our creative self-expression, for, you know, how are we showing up in life?
Well, I think we need to vote, too. We need to vote with our money. We need to vote with and we need to speak up.
Mm-hmm.
We need to speak up. Like, I had a whole bunch of Lancome cosmetics, and I love their colors. I think they have the most lavish, lush, beautiful colors. And I had been told they didn't do animal testing. And when I found out they did, I got all of my Lancome cosmetics, put them in a bag. I wrote a letter to Nordstrom, and I wrote a letter to Lancome, and I said, I am returning these. I don't wish to participate in this torture.
Oh.
And I, you know, neither one of them wrote me back.
Okay.
But I do know that if you write a letter like that, especially if you write a handwritten letter, they figure that at least 3,500 people feel that way and didn't say something. And
my ratio now, okay.
My sense is it's more than 3,500.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we have been so busy with busy work. You know, red tape, red tape, busy work, keeping track, counting things, all of that stuff, that there's been some difficulty even looking at these things.
It's what I like about your example is it has you taking a stand. So whether you sent them back to them, whether you threw them away, whether you gave them away, it has you shifting for you. And I have no judgment or opinion about how you make your shift. What's clear is that there's a moment in time when the light came on that's different than the moment before that.
Yes, and the new moment does not have to in any way resemble the previous moment.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's where the forgiveness is. Then you step in.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
Yes. I think also that, here's my sense, as we are immersed in this practice called forgiveness, which is really a letting go of the judgment and the stuff, as we practice that, we are like, you know, maybe kind of like putting a coat of wax on the floor, so you just kind of slide with it.
Yeah.
You know, we're in the flow in this sense. So what occurs to me is the more forgiveness work we do, the more open our minds and hearts are, the clearer we are, the more in coherence we are, in the flow, the more in touch we are as well, the more available we are to our good. This is how love prospers us. The good that is laid out for us, we have more immediate access to it.
You know, we have to wrap it up here, but I just hope you'll come back again soon.
Oh, I'd love to.
Such a treat to have you.
It's been my joy. Thank you so much. You always stimulate such a great dialogue, and I enjoy that so. So thank you
for
doing what you do and being who you are.
Thank you, because I have no idea how to do an interview.
You're just having a good time. I love it.
Well, I love you, and I thank you so much for being on the planet. I thank you so much for flunking Suicide 1A.
Thank you.
And staying here and giving your gifts. I just am so grateful for having on the planet the gift that is you.
Thank you. I had work to do. And so I'm here to do that, and I'm committed to doing it.
Thank you so much. Thank you, and thank you for listening. God bless you, and may all your dreams come true, and be 1,000 times more wonderful.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep shining until then. Happy trails to you. Till we meet again. I love you. And this is my wish for you, that all your dreams come true and are 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. Amen, women, children, and yeehaw!